Greet you in Jesus' name this morning. Trust that our worship can continue to the great God that we serve and that we are, whose presence is here this morning. Time keeps moving on. That was mentioned earlier, but that's the direction my mind went. And in contrast to that, the aspect of God and His unchanging, our unchanging God. The way that we need to adapt to change, the way we adapt to many different things in our lives that come and go, like Job did, and he faced many changes through his life, and yet the eternal God that he served gave him stability and allow him to face those changes properly, as he should, as he did. A couple questions just to think about to help contrast ourselves to God. Does God get older every year? I mean, we think about time and a year being passed or coming to a close. We think about being a year older, being a year, another year passed. Does God get wiser? Maybe don't always, but we should get wiser each year. We should, with the experiences that we've seen and the lessons we've learned, the things we've faced, we accumulate that wisdom. How is it for God? This is several thousand years since the time of Job. Has his plan changed? Does his method of working with men, has that improved? Has he learned some things? Has he found a different way that works better? Does God become irrelevant or out of date? I don't know how many different business plans and methods, all kinds of things have become out of date this past year, especially in relation to COVID. But even on a normal basis, things change all the time, and new laws come into effect, and new things are learned, and we adapt to that. Does God become irrelevant or out of date at all? What we're used to passes away, and about 370 days, 2021 will be gone. Looks like a future to us, and we a lot of unknowns. But before too many days have passed, that will be passed if the Lord tarries. And so time keeps moving on for us. But those changes highlight how the everlasting God, the unchanging God, the everlasting God, and that would be the title I would say would be the eternal God. There's two words that we'll be looking at this morning. One is eternal and everlasting. And in some ways, they're used interchangeably. And yet, I would highlight just a bit of a difference between them. Eternal has a little bit more of the thought of being from eternity past to eternity future. Not having beginning or end. And that describes God. He doesn't have any beginning or end. Time marks the beginning of created existence. In other words, the word time begins with creation and created existence that God did. Because God never began to exist, it can have no application to Him. In other words, time doesn't apply to God. God is above time. The word began is a time word. That's the way Tozer would describe it. Began is a time word, and it can have no personal meaning for the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity. God is not contained in time. Time is contained in God. So God exists and time is something that's within Him. God is not within time. Time doesn't, you know, we're within time. Our existence, there was time, and then we came into existence, and our physical life will end, but we will go on eternally, everlastingly. We'll experience everlasting joy or damnation. It will go on from here, but time is really something that's contained within God. God is above time. All right. Everlasting emphasizes having no ending, and to some extent they're used a bit interchangeably through Scripture. But notice many times it is used that way. Eternal is without beginning or end, and everlasting is without end. Because all around us changes, it highlights this attribute of God. All right, I have a lot of verses that I'm going to read this morning. I'll have you turn to a few. And I may not have a lot of comments about them, but a lot in the Bible talks about God and His eternal being. And as we go from year to year, we're just so used to the idea that we're born and we grow and we learn. And we attain some wisdom, we attain some understanding, and some strength, and become more useful and learn and can do more things as we grow through life. And possibly at the end of life, some things wane, our strength wanes, and then we move on. We're just so used to that idea. But God is the same today as He was 2,000 years ago. And He's the same today as He was back in the time of Job. He's the same today as He was when He created the world. He hasn't learned anything. He hasn't changed anything. He hasn't adapted His methods whatsoever. He's had different dispensations, different ways that He worked with man, but He Himself has not changed, and He hasn't adapted like that at all in the way we look at it. And that eternal God gives us stability as we face life, as we face the changes that are before us. And maybe sometimes we think there's more change in life than there really is. If you think about this past year, and if you do read a little bit of history, back in 1918 when the Spanish flu went through, maybe things don't change quite as much as we think they do. Well, there's more things that have existed before that to us are new, and we tend to think is new and change. But really, realistically, think many things do change for us. All right, first point I have down is God Himself is eternal. God is eternal. Deuteronomy 33:27, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and He shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. But the eternal God is thy refuge. And many times, many things that people put their trust and consider to be a refuge for them change from time to time. Something that is safe and that gives security lasts for a period of time, and then it moves, then it's something else. You need to find something else to put your security and your trust in. Different types of currency and money and or the places that people invest, and that they put their savings or their trust in that sense. They change from time to time. Sometimes some things prove to be insecure, and people find something else that appears to be secure for a time, and then it changes again with different tactics of warfare. Some things are secure, and then after a while they're not secure anymore. They need to add more armor, they need to change, move different, you know, add additional features or whatever to make them secure again. The eternal God is thy refuge. If we have our trust and our faith in God, He can be our refuge. And it doesn't change. We don't have to change next year. We don't have to change the following year. God is the same, and He can be our eternal refuge. Psalm 90, verse 2, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. The authorities in our life change so often. The authorities in our life are many times our people, and people come and go, and we move from place to place, whatever. But God, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. He's the one, before the mountains were brought forth, whether the mountains come and go, God is God. And He's the one in charge. Authority. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. If you live today, or you live 100 years ago, or you live 1,000 years ago, or 5,000 years ago, God is the ultimate authority. He's the ultimate one who sets the moral code. He's the ultimate one that we need to pay attention to and listen to. And many sub-authorities come and go and change and are imperfect and have faults and make mistakes and all kinds of things. But God is on the throne, and that throne is established from everlasting to everlasting. Isaiah 9:6, unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He came as a baby. He came to this world, but He was going to be the Everlasting Father, the one that people would look at from that time on. He existed before that. He existed with God from eternity past. Isaiah 40, verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of His understanding. Again, that's in contrast to earthly life as we know it. He doesn't get weary. He doesn't get faint. But He is everlasting. He's as strong today as He was in the past. And He'll be as strong tomorrow as He is today. He does not lack in any way. Second main point would be, I want to look at some other everlasting things that relate to God. Other everlasting things that He's... And many of these things are not eternal because they had a beginning. But that God that's above time established something, and He said it's going to go on forever. And it's only because He is above everything that He can say that. We can't say that. We can't create something and say that this is going to go on forever. But God can. And that makes it meaningful. First, His everlasting covenant with Noah. And let's just turn to that. Genesis 9, 12 to 17. Just want to read that. Genesis 9, 12 to 17. This was a huge life-changing event in the world's history. But God was over it, and God had directed it. God controlled it. And when they came out of it, God gave a promise. And He said that this is going to be an everlasting covenant that He established with Noah and with those that came after him. Genesis 9, verses 12 through 17. Okay, I'm looking the wrong chapter, no wonder. Genesis 9, 12 to 17. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. And that's something that's familiar to us, and we count on and we think of when we see a rainbow. But I would just like to highlight the fact that has meaning and that has significance, because that's given, that covenant was established by one who's over time. And he could make a promise, he can make a covenant that goes on through time, through the end of time. Third thing, he made some is the everlasting possession. God promised the land of Canaan to the seed of Abraham. Think about that different times. Genesis 17, 7 and 8 says, I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. You know, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who God made that covenant with, they were there. They heard God say that, but then they were gone. But God continues on. And since he's above time, he can carry that covenant on and make sure that that comes to pass. And he will. He has. He is. Genesis 48:4, and he said unto me, behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee, and I will make of thee a multitude of people, and will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. God's promise to Abraham. The everlasting arms. God talks about everlasting arms. And we read that verse, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. You know, our strength comes and goes. I remember my grandfather, who was a farmer, and I remember him showing me somehow his hands were getting old, and the skin no longer had tone in them. God's not like that. It doesn't change. He's strong. And those arms that can hold us up do not change. We can have our trust in them. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. And again, we could talk about all the different things that people consider strong today and the way they come and go. They're strong today and they rust away tomorrow. They lose their strength, or they're overcome. Or they, or something's developed that's better and bigger than they are. But that's God, that everlasting strength at the beginning of time, and he still has everlasting strength now, and he will. There's nothing that compares to him throughout all time. Everlasting mercy. Our mercy generally runs out. I don't know. And our mercy comes and goes sometimes. We try to be merciful to others. We try to help others. But one of the aspects of God is he has everlasting mercy. You know, as people try us out and we try to help them and they turn against us and they don't respond, many times there comes a time when our mercy we run out, it seems. But God's mercy is everlasting. For God's children, there will be no end to his mercy. There will be a time when his judgment comes. We understand but that will be, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. His truth is there, and His mercy is extended to us. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. You know, when we repent and we come to Him, we can have confidence in that everlasting mercy, that everlasting kindness that He has toward mankind. Many different ways we relate to the way authorities in this earth extend mercy to people. There's a beginning time and there's an ending time. That plan or that offer expires and is no longer available. Your chance to get relief is normally for a period of time, and then it's expired, and you can no longer experience that. You can no longer get that help. But that's not the way God is. His help goes on. His kindness and mercy continues. He has everlasting remembrance. Psalm 112:6. Surely He shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. And again, that takes on meaning because we're so forgetful. And we might remember someone that has needs or someone that needs help for a period of time, and after a while we forget. We remember our friends, we remember those that are around us, and after a while we forget. We go on and we live our life, and we ignore, or not necessarily consciously, but sometimes, many times it's by just the time of by time moving on, we forget. But God doesn't forget, and that gives us confidence in Him that He has everlasting remembrance for the righteous. Times we are by ourselves and we wonder if anybody remembers us. Well, God, we can have confidence that God does. God remembers His own. The everlasting gospel. So another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. Revelation 14:6. The Word of God. Now we could look at the different references to God as the Word, or Jesus as the Word, the everlasting Word. The Bible and His message to us doesn't change, and it doesn't become obsolete in any way. It continues. We know that the Bible is the book that has stood the test of time. But it's more than just a book. It's the living Word of God. And it will continue. Will continue on. Will never become obsolete. Will never expire. Will never become out of date. It's an everlasting gospel. Something different than we could ever hope to write, we could ever hope to put down. He has an everlasting kingdom. The kingdom of God's, as it is His spiritual kingdom here, or His kingdom in the future, will be a continuation of it. Well, the Bible says it like this, Psalm 145:13, Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and Thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. Daniel 4:3, How great are His signs, and how mighty are His wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and His dominion is from generation to generation. Daniel 4:34, At the end of the days I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored Him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and whose kingdom is from generation to generation. And in several more verses from Daniel. And there was given Him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve Him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and His kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. And the final one, Daniel 7:27, the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Some way that kingdom that it's talking about that was established and will continue on forever is different than any other kingdom in this world. All the other kingdoms in this world are going to be subservient to that. All dominions shall serve and obey him. They're all going to be under his kingdom. All kingdoms that we know or that we have record of in this world have risen to power and then been destroyed and then died. But his kingdom is not like that. His kingdom will continue on forever. Everlasting kingdom. It's different than the world as we know it, than the things that we are familiar with here in a physical way. His everlasting love. Just that one verse there, Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. God's love doesn't change, and I'm sure there'd be many other references we could look at there, but God's love for mankind, his desire to draw man to himself, to have a relationship with man, doesn't change. It continues on. It's a model for our a marriage relationship, that love grows and continues on and never changes, never wanes, never changes to another. It's an everlasting love for us. So we said there was an eternal God who didn't have a beginning or an end. These other things were everlasting. There are things that God has established and will continue on. Now, the last two things, well, no. The next one is eternal life, and that's what it's normally referred to, eternal life. And I'm not quite sure if I have a full explanation for that. Some way our life comes from God. I don't know if that would be the best explanation for it. Our life comes from God and will continue on forever. But it definitely, as God created us, we will continue on. Isaiah 35:10. Eternal life, we think of as being life that continues, but I'm thinking more of heaven also, the joys, the eternal bliss that will come as we serve God faithfully. Eternal joy is one of the things that is talked about. We have different emotions that we experience, but joy is something that we like and we should have as a part of us. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. But joy that comes from God is eternal joy. The ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. So that's one of the marks of eternal life, is that there will be eternal joy there. There will not be sorrow and sighing and all those things. They will not be a part of it. Isaiah 61:7. For your shame ye shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land they shall possess the double, everlasting joy shall be unto them. Shall possess the double, everlasting joy shall be unto them. Not a real familiar verse, but it's talking about, seemed like a double portion. We're going to have everlasting joy. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Think about Job and the trials that he went through, the trials that we may experience in this life. But eternal joy will be the lot of those who follow Christ. Isaiah 60:19-20 talks about the end of the world. The sun shall no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee. But the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. The sun shall no more go down, neither shall the moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. God will be the everlasting light. He'll never go away. He'll never leave. He'll never have to go on a trip, never go on a journey and be away for a while. He will be there. Oh, there's lots of different verses I've written down here. 2 Corinthians 5:1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Our houses here rot and need maintenance and need to be kept after, take a lot of work to keep up, but our home in heaven is not made with hands and will be eternal, will last forever. As we come to the end of the year, we think about time, think about that eternal home that time won't affect. 2 Thessalonians 2:16, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God even our Father, which hath loved us, and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. You know, that everlasting consolation will be a part of that home. Now, there is also everlasting punishment. Everlasting chains. Everlasting punishment. Matthew 25:46. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. And notice in that verse, it uses the punishment is everlasting. That goes on from a certain time on into eternity. But life, for those who serve God and experience life after this life is over, it's life eternal. I like that. Jeremiah 20, verse 11. The Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. Therefore my persecutors shall stumble, and they shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. We don't like to be confused. We don't like to be lost. We don't like to not know what's going on. But it speaks of that punishment as being an everlasting confusion. Everlasting confusion. It goes on and on, doesn't end, never figure out where we are or what's happening in that time of eternal, of everlasting death, that time of punishment. I will bring an everlasting reproach upon you and a perpetual shame which shall not be forgotten. Jeremiah 23:40. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Everlasting contempt. Do you like to be despised by others, in contempt of others? That contempt in eternity will go on and on. Will never end. Matthew 18:8. Contrast between time and eternity. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. To be without a limb for a period of time is well worth it to escape that everlasting fire, that fire that never goes out, fire that never ends. All fire that we know of ends. It's finally over. It's finally, things cool down, and you can go in and you can sort things out and you can figure out, you can salvage what you can or whatever. But an everlasting fire, a fire that never stops. Matthew 25:41, then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Mark 3:29, he shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost, hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. 2 Thessalonians 1:9, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Hebrews 6:2, of the doctrine of baptism and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. He was talking about different doctrines, different things people were being taught. One of them is eternal judgment. Judgments that goes on and on and on. We like to, as a child, we like to experience that judgment and then the punishment and then go on from there. The judgments, the sentencing is a terrible thing, but that judgment will go on forever, it'll be everlasting judgment. Realization that we have done wrong, that we're condemned. Jude 1:6 and 7 says this, the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains unto darkness, unto the judgment of the great day, even to Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Talks there about eternal fire, but everlasting chains. Around here, chains eventually are going to rust and they're eventually going to fall off. But to be bound with everlasting chains, there would be no hope of ever being released from them. Well, in conclusion, the question is our refuge in the eternal God? We live in time, we move, and we face change ourselves and our surroundings and all the things around us. And yet, if our hope and our trust is fixed in the eternal God, it gives us a foundation that will help us through the things we face. Keep that in mind through the coming year. While things change, we have a stable anchor. We have something that we can fasten ourselves to and that we can find our refuge, find our strength, find security in. You know, it's many things that people put their security in when they realize that they're insecure. It shakes them and it can make them finally take their own life. It can just destroy a person. But if we have our security and our trust in something that's never going to change, it can help us through. It can keep us, help us to keep our foundation, help us to face those many things, face the coming year.